Well, here we are again. Welcome to another one of our talks on God as the Ruler of Angels, this third Sunday after Trinity. And today we have a couple of readings, one from the Book of Tobit, where we meet Raphael, I suppose you could say, and Luke, where we meet Gabriel, two of the seven great angels. Normally when we do these talks, we concentrate on all the theories about angels, their grades, their types, origins, functions. And people have really made up an awful lot of stuff, misinterpreting earlier statements by people they only partly understood in order to come up with these hierarchies of angelic beings without really any direct evidence of their existence. I'm not saying they don't exist, by the way. I'm not going to do that. In spite of me being reasonably sure that that there is what could be called angelic life in the one creation, I don't think anyone can provide any cogent argument that justifies all the fantastic theories about grades and types of angelic beings. And because of the shakiness of that ground, I want to instead concentrate on what we can figure out about what the angels are and what God as their ruler means. So first of all, angels, angeloi, are messengers. The Hebrew word malachim, Hebrew for angel, that's the original word from which we got our word angel, means messengers, just like the Greek word angeloi. So at the most basic level, one can think of the angels as the carriers of information. So the idea of an angel is based on its function. But there are lots of beings that can carry information. Humans can, for example. There is stuff inside ourselves called mRNA or messenger RNA, which conveys information around the inner structure of a cell and usually helps it to do its job properly, unless it's been tampered with by, say, an experimental gene therapy, which starts telling the outer layers of this cell to deviate from the instructions provided by the nucleus, for the sake, perhaps, of using some immune theory to attempt to combat a virus. And then you might get some very bad things happening, but mRNA is very bad outside a cell. And usually the immune system does its best to clean up any mRNA it finds between cells because of how disruptive that can be to intercellular functioning. So you've got to think about this as a metaphor for angels. Meanwhile, between the cells, there are these chemicals which also carry and deliver information between cells. One type of these are called hormones, which are basically the same thing as neurotransmitters, as they govern all kinds of things by cascading through the body in dynamic waves, signaling certain organs to behave in different ways. And most hormones are usually produced in the gut. Even blood carries information through the body as well as nutrients and waste. Information from, for example, the bone marrow. Bacteria from the biome, viruses, retroviruses, and all kinds of other structures also carry information throughout the body, within organs, between systems of organs. The white connective tissues are said in Tai Chi Chuan to carry energy information through the body. And if you've ever experienced being thrown across a room by a Tai Chi Chuan master, you will wonder if there isn't some truth to this. Now, are all these things angels? Well, if the cosmos is a man, the secret Adam, perhaps they are. Or at least the lower plane manifestations of angels. After all, something is controlling their life. And it is impossible to explain their life using the inert materialistic model of physicality, the so-called life as an epiphenomenon of material structures. This theory has proven to be neither scientific nor possessing of sufficient explanatory power to be much use as a model of the hidden nature of life. Now, equally between humans and also between animals, there are other chemical structures called pheromones and others, which also carry information, and much of it extremely complex, which is then interpretable by each organism receiving them. Hive creatures keep their hives in order in this way. Similarly, plants send out information on pollens and other microstructures, which can be interpreted and used by both animals and other plants. on a macro level, the planets share information between them using what I can only describe as the etheric web, which connect the electromagnetic structures of the sun and the planets to each other with near instantaneous transfer of information between them using the relatively rigid connective tissues of the wakes that the planets make as they move through the cosmic ocean of mostly solar produced fluid. Now Blake, William Blake, of course, once opined that he didn't think much of Newton's notion that the sun's light came from it being a ball of molten gas. As far as he was concerned, the light came from the myriads of angels shining from its surface. And the older I get, and the more I know, the less certain I am that Newton is even close to being accurate about light. Even the idea of the sun as a nuclear furnace becomes less and less likely the more I learn about how uncoverably wrong yield calculations were for the original thermodynamic thermonuclear explosives and how much more is important about the sun's electromagnetic nature. So what if the sun is populated by beings whose materialistic expression is also that of an electromagnetic nature like light? But I digress. The final species of angeloi, or messenger, between humans, I should not fail to mention, is that of the idea, or as their expressions are often popularly known, the meme. Ideas, and their precipitates, like memes, carry information between beings and across time, so that an idea expressed of Blake's or Newton's can be found in my writing today. These days, memes and ideologies or systems of ideas compete for adherence to possess. And indeed, ideological possession could be considered a form of demonic possession, especially when we think of the word demon or daimon in its original sense, a being who moved between heaven and earth. Demons and angels are like neurotransmitters or hormones, identical in every manner of form or structure, yet differing in effect, neurotransmitters to hormones, angels to demons. That is the effect on us. Demons usually, because they have a bad effect on us. We don't like demons, but we do like angels. Actually, the ancients made no such distinction. All these beings were angels or malachim or gods or devas, and they were mostly indifferent to human beings alive in this world. Now, I am sure you are wondering, what about all those young men dressed in white who appear in the Bible, or the bird-winged men, women, and children depicted in all that hagiographic art? Well, getting to that, most of these are not properly angels as understood by people like Hodgson, who painted etheric or astral angelic beings floating over trees and mountains, who are the spiritual intelligences of such physical entities, apparently maintaining their form while the physical equilibrium of homeostasis is preserved. And indeed, the world is littered with such expressions of the physical intelligences of the world. Over churches and other buildings created by people float other kinds of intelligences, some of them very beautiful and serene, many of them hideous and grotesque to the eyes of clairvoyance, but all of them blending together in a natural harmony expressive of the shared intelligence of the mineral, vegetable, animal, and human creatures all moving together in the world, and all apparently connected by long threads to the sun. Human beings are always calling proto-angels into proximity by their shared projects, and as these projects progress, the angels grow in size and power, reflecting or perhaps delighting in the power of the endeavor. Such angels are called in the Enochian traditions egregores, and often look like different kinds of birds: owls, eagles, vultures, cranes, ibises. So in a way, man is a ruler of some angels. But what about these other young men in white? Well, to be honest, I'm not sure. I don't have any real experience or shared experience with other people to get into that. But I do But I do not think that these are properly angels in the other sense, but just people who have some godlike abilities. Potentially in the case of the great angels, sometimes called archangels, they are perhaps human people who have taken service with the great planetary spirits to be the voice of such beings. Or in very special cases, perhaps, they are the incarnations of the planetary spirits themselves. Usually the level of interaction between the higher world human beings and the lower world human beings is exceedingly tiny, because the concerns of the one hardly ever overlap the concerns of the other. But sometimes with people incarnated here for a particular purpose deemed necessary for something to go forward, there might be a gentle nudging of people in the lower world, this world, to ensure that that purpose not go too far off track. In this case, the ones doing the nudging might be considered angels in the sense of being messengers, but they are usually just incarnate people with bilocation or astral projection skills. However, such beings do not usually show up with wings. So what are the ones with wings? The simple answer is they are they who used to be birds. They who came to this world as birds and finished their cycle in the lower planes as men. Many of us were also once birds, but are still learning what it is this world can teach. They were many, but they are also one. The one rules both angels and men, for we both serve the Hidden Father's method of the great love for eliciting full unfoldment of potential in all beings here. This land of death, in whose earth we clawed a root, whose fire and water temper us, and whose air gives space for our desires, this one, called self-resplendent, self-illumined, or Ogawaides, is our personal saviour, and is in a strange way identical to your higher self, but it is false to say that he is you, for he is not. He is the beloved, governing through love, being love. He loves you more than anything in the universe. You are his own offspring. In Judaism, he is Michael. In bridegroom practice, the bridegroom. In Sethian Gnosis, the one who stands above the maelstrom. And he is as far above the white masters of upper fire as they are beyond us. He is both Father and Son. For how can the Son be one with the Father if he is not also the Father? Both one and many, ruler of men and angels, he is the expression of love of the One, dying for all in us, that we might have life. Thank you.